Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Mark 12, especially these words. And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. So far, our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus was there teaching and watching in the temple. With the right kind of eyes, you can see what Jesus saw. An easy sermon on this text would be a very law-oriented, moralistic sermon. These widows in our Old Testament and gospel readings gave all they had, and so you likewise should give all you have. But that sermon ends up rather short, doesn't it? Because under the law, you can give all you have and come up with nothing. That's not what Jesus is saying here. This isn't a stewardship sermon. It isn't. Instead, Jesus is seeing with different kind of eyes than we often use. He's there in the temple, teaching and watching. There's a distinction here in these verses between the scribes, who love to dress up and love elaborate greetings. They love long prayers, not to pray to God, but as a pretense. If anyone saw them, they would say, "Look how holy these guys are, how pious and religious they are. They must be able to be saved through their own works." And yet Jesus condemns them. The world would praise their actions, but the world doesn't have the right kind of eyes to see like Jesus does. And then come all of the rich with their great gifts, making a show of how much they're giving. "Look at me! Look at this pile of coin I've got to give. Whoa! I'll put it in nice and slow so everybody can count it out with me. Whoa!" The world would be impressed. The world would be stunned. Those with the wrong kind of eyes would think they would have a fast track to heaven, because look how much they're giving. And then comes that widow, who nobody even looked at. Her offering can be counted in a fraction of a second, as those two pitiful coins hit the offering plate. It's barely anything. It's more closer to nothing than something. But Jesus commends her, not to her face, but to his disciples and all those who bother to hear. Jesus commends her to encourage us to have the right kind of eyes to see with. This text is rounded out in the next couple verses, which are not in our lectionary reading today. But as Jesus is leaving the temple, someone comes up to him and says, "Teacher, look at these great buildings and these great stones. Look at this temple. Isn't it a phenomenal?" The wrong kind of eyes would say, "Yes, this is a glorious building. One of the wonders of the ancient world. It's phenomenal. It's incredible. It's beyond belief." But Jesus doesn't say that. "Yes, and there will be not one stone left upon another. They will all be torn down." Do you have the right kind of eyes to see what Jesus sees? Do you see beyond what the world sees? Jesus sees to the heart and to faith. He sees to your heart and your faith. The gifts you give are not nearly as much as that widow, are they? You put in not out of your poverty, but out of your abundance. And could you give more? Of course. We always could. He sees to your heart and to your faith. Could you do more for your neighbor in need? Of course. Did you pray for him today, this week, this month? Do you care about him at all? Did you encourage him this morning, walking into church? You could always do more. But those things are not what Jesus is commenting on. The right kind of eyes see something different in these texts. And Jesus encourages you to see it as well. To see the offerings that look pitiful and worthless and pathetic before the world. For this is just days before the judgment on the tree. That's what Jesus' mind is focused on. Good Friday. And he wants to redirect his disciples' focus there, to what he's about to do. That's why he talks about the temple being torn down. Not the temple in Jerusalem, that would happen later in 70 AD, but his very body would be torn down. The true temple, the true dwelling place of God Most High, would be torn down in death. That's why Jesus comments about these scribes, and these rich, and these poor, to encourage us to see things differently, to see beyond what the world sees, to what's really going on. However much we give, however much we do, is never enough under the law. There must be someone else who does it for us. Someone whose sacrifice looks even more pathetic than that widow's offerings. Jesus. Jesus, accused of blasphemy, beaten and bloody, carrying his cross to the place of the skull, being nailed hand and foot. What does that look like? To the world, it looks like nothing. It looks like a man dying for his sins. But to those with the right kind of eyes, it looks like our salvation. For we see what's really going on there. God in flesh, taking all of our sins on himself and paying the full price. We see beyond what the world sees, to what God is doing. As Jesus dies on that tree, he offers the right offering before our God. Not money, not works, but his very life. That widow gave all she had to live on, but Jesus would give his perfect life for the sins of sinners. To save you from death and hell. Jesus encourages you to look there, to the cross, and see rightly what's going on. But it doesn't end there, does it? You need those right kind of eyes to see what's going on here. To understand that as his word is read and heard and proclaimed, forgiveness of sins is given. To see that as simple water washes over Casey, her sins are forgiven. To see that as we receive that simple bread and wine, we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. With the right kind of eyes, you can see it. With the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of faith, the eyes that that widow had, she gave everything she had. She knew because she saw. She saw God's word powerful, living, and active, and she knew she didn't need those copper coins because she had something more valuable. God's word, his promise, the forgiveness of her sins declared to her through Jesus Christ. We know the value of what we have. That's why you're here this morning, to see again Jesus working for you, to forgive you your sins, and to grant you life eternal. In his name, amen.